Welcome to part two in the interview with Dr. Darcy Goodman Collins, in which she talks about the league's lifelong focus on water quality, about the proposed transfer of authority to local government, and more of the issues central to the regional plan update.
Okay, so kind of shifting speeds into a different topic area, there are some of the key environmental issues in the basin that the league has been involved with on a policy level for several decades. One of those is really at the forefront, has had to do with land coverage. And of course, we're in the process of the regional plan update. Where does the league stand in terms of the land coverage topic in the regional plan update?
When I first started a few months ago, I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to come into the regional planning update process at a really key time. And I was asked, the league was asked to be one of the participants in some bi-state consultation meetings that were occurring between the two states. And it's really given me the opportunity to, on a fast track, learn about the issues in Tahoe and to talk with all of the different players and partners and constituents in that process. And we've been able to play this unique role in really becoming a bridge between all of the different interests and trying to come up with some really creative solutions. So rather than just identifying the problems and the disconnect and the issues, but to figure out creative ways to be proactive in finding solutions. So we're very engaged in that process, and we're working closely with all of our partners to help inform that process and to reach a regional plan update that all parties can buy into. And as you mentioned, one of the key components to that regional plan updating process is management of coverage within the basin. And what we really want to, our goal is to make sure that coverage is placed in appropriate areas and that there really is science backing to what the regional plan update is trying to accomplish in the goals, and to figure out where it is appropriate to maybe change the current regulations and where the past regulations have been strong. So finding that balance and working with all partners to safeguard some of the environmental benefits that are currently in place, and to make sure that we're focusing on getting rid of the blight in Tahoe and really doing some good development and maintaining the ecosystem functions throughout the basin.
So continuing on that same topic, we've just been talking about land coverage in the context of the regional plan and the way that it sets a trajectory for the basin. Are there other issues that really rise to the fore in terms of the league's areas of proactive interest? And if so, can you just tell us what the league's perspective is on those?
Well, obviously, one of the league's biggest goals is to maintain the water quality and water clarity of the lake. So a lot of our focus is to figure out if there are going to be any changes in land use and how our development trajectories are within the basin, to make sure there's always a water quality gain or water quality benefit component to each of those new policies and goals. And it allows us to kind of look at the goals and policies from a different perspective that some of the other agencies look at it, because we can investigate what the intent of the changes are and to really give advice. Okay, if this is the intent, let's make sure that we get these gains and that these impacts are not realized.
One of the big discussion, hinge points in the RPU has had to do with a transfer of power, some would say, others would use other words besides power, but responsibility, between what has been the TRPA's jurisdiction over the whole basin at large and a shift to local jurisdictions. And I'm just wondering where the league is on that subject.
So again, this is one of the areas where it's been really encouraging for me to be involved in the discussions, because I had the opportunity to learn about the intent of those new policies and really what some of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency staff want, and the sit in the local jurisdiction staff, what they really want to gain out of that change in policy, which is eye-opening for me, I think, because we tend to focus on the worst case scenario and forget the intent of some of these new changes. So looking at those changes from that perspective has helped us become more a part of the dialogue in figuring out, okay, if this is why you want to give the local jurisdictions a little more authority and that it's solving one issue, let's figure out how we can ensure that that intent's not lost, but that we put safeguards in place so that that there really is this regional aspect to planning in the basin. Because the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency was formed to be a regional planning agency. So giving more authority back to the local jurisdictions kind of goes against that original intent. So we're trying to help find a balance. Okay, how can we maintain that regional planning without losing the positive aspects that giving the local jurisdictions a little more authority and the planning agency the ability to focus on bigger picture issues? And it is a big concern for the conservation community and giving the local jurisdictions this authority, because it does take away that bigger planning, and there is this underlying perception of mistrust with some of the local jurisdictions. So we're trying to figure out ways to really safeguard those issues while still maintaining the gains that could hopefully be perceived in that process.
So my last question has to do with monitoring. The regional plan update had an accompanying document, the threshold evaluation report, and Joanne Marchetta, the executive director at TRPA, recently said, you know, the monitoring that we do in the field, the assessment of how the deployment of these different programs are performing, is key to our improving them and using funds wisely. And she said, but that monitoring, as we call it just generically, has a big price tag attached. Right, right now, if I need to double check to make sure, but it's approximately a $2 million annual price tag. And to do it even moderately, according to what the expectations are, it would be double that, like a $4 million price tag. Where is the league in terms of the regional plan update and this question of monitoring and how it can be funded?
That's a great question, because in my experience working both in the science world and the nonprofit world, monitoring is always what's left behind. Although it's one of the most important aspects or the most important components to adaptive management and to learning and to really being able to create appropriate policy and ordinances. The league holds a really strong position on the necessity for monitoring. It's not only is it an important area to an important aspect of informing the next decisions, but it helps us engage and inform the community of where the key issues are. So I see the league as playing in the future two really important roles in helping make sure that Joanne's goal of really increasing their ability to monitor their efforts in two ways. And one of those is we've been working on partnering with some local organizations, including Friends of the West Shore, in creating some citizen monitoring projects. So hopefully that'll help fill a gap in the actual collection of data. And this project is the Pipe Keepers Project that we're just launching this year. And it's a partnership with the League to Save Lake Tahoe and the Friends of the West Shore. And we're actually going to get the local community to adopt pipes around the lake and to collect data on the outflow. And it'll help inform decision makers what's going on with these pipes. And it's just, there's such a large amount of pipes. There's over 200 pipes throughout the entire lake that it's, because of the cost prohibition, it's impossible for a lot of the local agencies to keep track of all of the outflow from these pipes. So I think it's going to fill a really big gap in learning about what pipes are the biggest contributors to sediment inflow into the lake and other issues. So using that as a pilot and building upon that type of citizen monitoring program, that's one area where the league could really support the community in monitoring efforts. And the second is just to help build capacity. So to work with Joanne and her team in bringing in, whether it be funding or partners or other ways to support them in what they need to actually build the capacity and the resources to monitor at an adequate level. And in the next few years, we can reassess and see where those holes are, and to really work collaboratively to get to the point where we're getting enough data so that our policy can be based on science.
Great. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today, and good luck with all of the events and the ventures that you have planned.
Thank you so much.
This is the end of the two-part interview with Dr. Darcy Goodman Collins. Thank you for listening at TahoeProject.org.